Shari Teshuvah, Rabbeinu Yonah of Gerona. Rabbeinu Yonah was, I think he was a cousin of the Ramban, Nachmanides. And he was around the 1200th, so in the 13th century, and he was a Spanish rabbi. However, he learnt in Provence, in France. And so a lot of Spanish rabbis would cross the border into southern France, and they'd study with the French rabbis. And he was one of them. And he, together with the French rabbis, they decided the Rambam had crossed the border. He had crossed the border of Jewish law. He had studied Aristotle. Rambam writes, Aristotle, he studied Aristotle. He wrote Moreh Nevuchim. So they decided that they're going to put the Rambam in Cherem. They're going to burn all the books of the Rambam. So they gathered all the books of the Rambam together. And in Paris, they decide they're going to burn the books of the Rambam. In a public ceremony, they burn the books of the Rambam. And they put the Rambam in Cherem. No one is allowed to learn Rambam. Imagine. So what happened is, the king of France says, what's going on? What's the bonfire for? And he told the Jews are burning Jewish books. He said, oh yeah? Good idea. I want to join in. I'm going to collect all the books of the Talmud. All the copies of the Talmud. Imagine, written by hand. Imagine. Wagon loads of Talmud. Put them all in the French square. And he burnt them all. So the rabbis of France saw that, they got a shock. So boy, have we sinned big time. We burned the books of the Rambam, and look what they did to the books of the Talmud. So one of these rabbis, Rabbeinu Yonah, it says he went from synagogue to synagogue in France, apologizing to the Rambam. Now the Rambam already passed away. Imagine he went from synagogue to synagogue, apologizing, and because of that, he wrote a book. And this is a book we're going to do now, Sha'arei Teshuvah, How Do I Do Teshuvah? He wrote a book for himself. His guidelines for Teshuvah. So he called it Sha'arei Teshuvah, Gates of Repentance. So one thing good came out of it was, number one is the Rambam is no longer in Cherem. And the Rambam, everyone loves Rambam. Just got to be careful, certain sections, you got to be careful. You got to know before what's true, what's false, you got to know. And number two is we got this beautiful book, Sha'arei Teshuvah, which is a very important work of Jewish philosophy about Teshuvah. And the first thing he stresses is how lucky we are. We have this tremendous gift. We are tremendously lucky that Hashem gave us this gift. He calls it one of the goodnesses that Hashem did for us. He did this tremendous goodness with His creatures. He gave for us a path that if we would fail in some of our deeds, He would open the door for us. He would open the doors to return to Him. Tremendous gift that Hashem gave us. And we can run away from our sins. And I'm trying to translate the Hebrew at the same time. Vaziram lashuv elav, and Hashem commanded us, He warned us to come back to Him. To come back to Him, and even though a person sinned to Him, Hashem will receive the person very, very, very nicely, and give tremendous gifts, because He knows our inclination. Hashem knows our inclination, obviously, because He's the Creator. He created us with these inclinations. So Hashem knows our propensities. He knows our propensity is more to the bad than the good. It's very hard to be good in this world. There's so much what I call tinsel. It's Tinseltown. You know what Tinseltown is? There's so many mirrors over here. So many, you go out in the street and you think, you know, this is it. This is reality. Reality is you're in the street, you're in America, everyone's making money, you're running around. You go past the restaurants, you're sitting outside, they're eating and drinking. That's what life is all about. And that's a danger over here. We are fooled. This world is a world where we are being fooled by things around us. What the reality of the situation is. And the answer is, the reality of the situation is, this world is an exam. This world is an examination hall. It's hard to think of it like that. But a person has to think about it. This world is an examination hall. And we are here doing a test. What is the test? The test is right or wrong. Good or bad. Follow God's will. Not follow God's will. And that is the test. And everything we do, any choices we make. Should we stay for the class? Not stay for the class. Should we learn Torah? Not learn Torah. Should we play games? Not play games. Should we go to a cafe and eat? Not cafe. Kosher? Not kosher. Obviously, these are all tests. Everything, every little thing we do. Should we waste time? Not waste time. Biggest test today. And therefore, Hashem gave us, He says, I know you. I know you're going to be pulled towards the evil. But you know what? I'm going to give you a gift. What is that gift? I'm going to give you the opportunity to return. I'm going to give you the opportunity to make amends. I'm going to give you the opportunity to come back to me. And this is one of the great gifts that Hashem gave us. And that's what we say in Tehillim. in chapter 25. Tov v'yashar Hashem. Hashem is straight and good. Aken yorech hatayim baderech. He will show the sinners the path. There is a path back to God. And if a person, even though a person did a lot of sins and he really rebelled against God, Hashem does not close the doors of Teshuvah. As it says, and Yeshayahu says in chapter 31, Shuvu la'asher he'miku sarah. Even though you dug a deep pit, come back. His path's back. And Yirmiyahu, our Nabi, says in chapter 3, repent, bad children. Shovim. Today, a kid who's naughty in school, he's called a shovav. That's the word, exactly. Shovav. Mischievous kids. Come back to me, mischievous kids, Hashem says. I will heal you. And in many places of the Torah tells us, be careful with teshuvah. Do teshuvah. Do teshuvah. So especially in Devarim. So a person does teshuvah, Hashem welcomes them back. Okay? Kol shekeni mashuv mirat Hashem. How much more is a person comes back because of fear of God? Or a person comes back from love of God? All these things will find you in the end of days. Moshe Rabbeinu says in Devarim chapter 4, V'shavta Hashem Elokecha. And you will come back to the Lord your God, V'shamata V'kolein, listen to His voice. And Hashem helps those that come back. So amazing that Hashem helps us to repent and come back to Him. We have this opportunity. There's a tremendous golden opportunity right now. We can end off the year, the Jewish year, with a good note. How can we end off the good year with a good note? We can, number one, is we can do teshuvah for everything we did in the past year. The Rambam said, we just read the Rambam, for teshuvah, not just the person going to do teshuvah for the past year, go to teshuvah from all the past years. From the time of our birth up to now, we have to do teshuvah. Every year we do teshuvah. We don't know what's going on. We don't know if our previous sins were forgiven. And then the final blessing, which is the Torah talks about in the future, Hashem will circumcise your heart and the heart of your children. What does that mean? Circumcise your heart. Circumcise heart means Hashem's going to remove the evil from us. In the time of Mashiach, there will not be no more free choice. It's going to be easy. It's going to be too easy. There will not be battles anymore. No internal battles anymore. Hashem's going to cut out that piece of the heart which is evil inclination. Whatever that means, the spiritual side of us. The spiritual side which comes from the husks, Hashem will just cut it out, eradicate it. So that is going to be the final thing. But you know what? Before that, now's the time, because we're very lucky. We're very lucky we have this opportunity. Hashem put us in. It's fun. This world is fun. It's fun. If you think of it as fun, you're playing a game. It's called Chutes and Ladders. The ladder is climbing up to serve God. And the chute is go right down again every time a person sins. Climb. And that's the reason of Tzadik and Rasha. A Tzadik knows. Had a guy, he says, I gave up. When do you give up? I don't come to Selichot. I know I can't do it. He had such good intent. I want to come the whole month. Da, da, da. He didn't come one day, 2 days, he gave up. That's not the way of a tzaddik. A tzaddik is, I'll fall, and I'll pick myself up and climb back again. Never give up. A person should never give up on themselves, because that is the trick of the Yetzirah. The Yetzirah wants to make it, it's too hard for you, it's impossible, forget about it, you'll never get there. Don't do anything. Don't even start the process. It's not worth it. You can't do it, so forget about it. So you know what, that's the Yetzirah. A person's going to say, you're doing it. Chavetz Chaim, beautiful story, Chavetz Chaim. Chavetz Chaim is 80 years old. Imagine, think of this. He's 80 years old in Poland. You know how cold it is in Poland? I don't know. I know how cold it is in Toronto. So it's pretty cold. You go to Toronto, it's pretty similar. I can imagine. He's 80 years old and he's freezing in his bed. It's frozen over there. And it's 6 in the morning, he has to get up for Shacharit. And he hears a voice in his head. Go back to sleep, old man. You're 80 years old. It's freezing outside. You hurt yourself. You get sick. He said, you're older than me and you're up already. My Yetzirah Ra is older than me. So it's 13 years older than the Yetzirah Tov. 13 years older than the good inclination. And you're up already and you're busy. So if you can do it, I can do it. We have to learn from the Yetzirah. You know, the Yetzirah never gives up. The most persistent fellow, I hate that guy. But it's me, it's part of me. The most persistent fellow there is, doesn't matter what you say to him, what you try to do, he always doesn't give up. We have to be as persistent. We have to learn from them. You know, where's the Yetzirah today? He's outside. Where is he? He's all over. True story. A guy, a Jew, in Florida. Do you know how many times the missionaries approached him? Do you think they gave up? Never gave up. They said, go away, leave me alone. They came back. Go away, leave me alone. They came back. If they don't give up, why should we give up? Why should we give up? So we have a lot to lose. We have a lot at stake in this exam. It's like you fail again. And I fail my driving. In England, it's very hard to pass your driving test. You know why? Because number one is, at that time, there was no automatic. Everything was clutch. And they're doing clutch with your left hand. You're changing gears with your left hand. You're driving on the other side of the... So it's very, very hard to pass. You've got how many pedals? Brake, clutch, and gas. Three pedals, can you imagine? You put your foot on the wrong pedal, you're finished. I mean, it's like, and you're going, and the roads are very narrow, and you're going like this, like this. It's very hard to pass the first time. So you fail the first time. Okay, well, it's natural. Most people fail the first time. Second time, okay. Third time, hopefully lucky. But if you give up, you give up. That's not what Jews are. We don't give up. We just keep on going. You have to keep on going. Because every time you fail, you say, that's it. But the Yetzer Hara won. From there, it's a clear victory for him. That's it. The rest of your person's life is finished. The guy doesn't even think again. Whereas a person who says, you know what, I'm going to pick my socks up and do it again. I'm going to start again, the process. And that's what we do every Rosh Hashanah. We start the process over again. So we sin, we'll pick ourselves up, we'll continue, we'll try and climb the ladder. And if we sin again, we'll pick ourselves up and do it again. Because every time we pick ourselves up and climb again, we get more reward. We get reward for the teshuvah. The reward for teshuvah is amazing. That is the trick of the Yetzer Hara. Don't do teshuvah. Why? Because teshuvah is the biggest remedy for everything we did. So that is the power of teshuvah. Teshuvah is fantastic. So a person's got to know that one day there's going to be a time where there won't be a Yetzer Hara. There won't be fun in the world. You know why? There's no challenge. Imagine. Everyone will get up. It's like you go to a religious neighborhood in Yerushalayim. Everyone's in the shul. Well, not really, but nearly. Say 90% of people are there. They're not there for the first minyan, they have second minyan, not the second minyan, third minyan, not the third minyan, fourth minyan. They keep on coming till around 10 o'clock you see people coming. So, how much reward are you going to get if you live over there and you grow up over there? How much reward? Everyone's going to shul. They all get reward, okay? If you live in a place where no one's going to shul, you're in a place where it's hard to go to shul. You live in a freezing cold country where it's frozen and you get tremendous reward. The reward is tremendous. So that's our situation today. Listen, think about it. How many Jews in the world are there? 14 million? How many Jews are Shomer Torah and Mitzvot? 2 million? 2.5? 3 max? So can you imagine, a person does a mitzvah, you're getting three times the schar. It's fun today. You're getting tremendous returns on your investment. Every mitzvah you do is an investment. Your returns are much greater. Right? Because the less people doing it, the more returns are. When the Mashiach comes, everyone's going to be doing it. It's not going to be fun anymore. There's no challenge anymore. Everyone's doing it. They're all running to serve God because there's no more Yetzer Hara. Now's the time to serve God. Now's the time. You want dividends? Tremendous dividends now. Every word of Torah a person learns, 630 mitzvot. Every second, every word, 630 mitzvot. You work it out. Thousands and thousands. Trillions. Keeps adding up. And the trick is to feel this. And to know, to feel my celestial bank account. Ching, 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 ching. Feel that ching. It's like a person checks their bank account every day. Say, oh, wow, my interest payments coming in. Drip, 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 drip. What's it called? Drip investments, right? So, same thing. Person's going to know. Every time I wake up, where's my tefillin? You know how important tefillin are? The Zohar, you read the Zohar. The Zohar says, well, every time you tie your hand tefillin, you're tying up the Yetzer Hara. Literally, you're tying up that spiritual entity. Put your head tefillin. Tremendous power. Tie up the Yetzer Hara. And you're making God the king of you. What do you mean making God the king? I'm subduing the Yetzer Hara under God. God comes first. I'm appointing him as king over the Yetzer Hara, over myself, basically, over my own desires. So that is the highest level. That is the highest level. The person goes to heaven, Hashem says, thank you. You conquered the bad over the good. You put the good first. So very, very important. Powerful, powerful. And now we see. Ki ahote, asher yitachel lashuv mecheto. The sinner who delays his repentance. Yichabed alav meod. It's a tremendously heavy weight. A person delays their repentance. It's a tremendously heavy weight. And every second the person delays, getting punished. Getting punished. Every second delay. It's a terrible thing. A person should never delay. It's so hard not to delay. Because we're not aware what we do. Imagine. We're not aware. A person's got to be aware what they do. So a person said, you know what, I insulted the guy. What did I do? Big deal, it's a joke. Yeah, but maybe the guy's hurt inside. If he's hurt inside, you did something bad. You gotta go pacify them. Every day you delay, pacifying is so hard. Come on, every day a person delays pacifying. Another weight. It's like the person doesn't pay the loan. The interest is just How much is a credit card? 20%, 25%, 26%? It's crazy. Come on, every day you delay paying the credit card, another 20%. It's like crazy. It just doesn't stop. So same thing over here. We're using up our Erech HaPayim. Hashem is Erech HaPayim. What does that mean? Slow to anger. But every time you use up another day, that's part of your merits, God. You're using up your merits. God is slow to anger, God is slow to anger, God is slow to anger. Okay, but how much interest are you going to pay? So straight away, a person should do teshuva, and that's that. Requires awareness of what a person did. What did I do today? It's not just what you did, it's also what you didn't do. It's sins of omission and sins of commission. So sins of commission we're more aware of. Much easier to do teshuva. You know why? I ate the pork, I ate this, and I did this, and I spoke lashon hara. These are things which a person is more aware of. What didn't I do? Oh, what didn't I do? I didn't really learn Torah as much as I could have. I was just wasted time. That's things that people don't even talk about. Things they don't even think about. I didn't learn Torah. I don't know if I said Shema on time. I don't know if I prayed the Amidah with concentration. That's everyone. How do we do this? So a person's got to be aware why a person's going to do Teshuvah. If you're not aware of it, you can't do Teshuvah. So it's very important to read these books to just get awareness. Of course. Right, so there's the easiest thing to do teshuva from. Rambam says, you say, Hashem, I'm sorry I missed the Shema today. I'm really regretting it. I'll never miss Shema again. You're forgiven on the spot. Miss on the spot. On the spot. Miss something, don't make the next one. Depends if you did it on purpose, not purpose. But as you can do it, you fix it on the spot. However, but you shouldn't make a habit of it. It's a very bad thing. Because it's something you cannot fix. That day is not fixed. That day of time is not fixed. You didn't fix it. Every day has to be fixed by doing the mitzvah of that day. So a person should not delay. He goes, you know, I'll do teshuva tomorrow. What's the problem? What's the big rush? And the answer is every second there's a weight adding. Interest payments, interest payments, interest payments. So you want to delay? Not a good idea. Do it now. That's what the Sharia teshuva. Number one is we have to seize it's an opportunity. It's a tremendous gift that Hashem gave us. Number two is seize the time now. Don't delay teshuva. Try and do teshuva as soon as you can. And that's what you're supposed to do before you go to sleep. At least before you go to sleep. As part of the Shema is vidui. You say the vidui, you say, I'm sorry. Well, there's a formula there. We were discussing the formula earlier. I forgive and everyone who did anything bad to me from the time I was born, not only in this Gilgul, in this reincarnation, also in another reincarnation. All the reincarnations. All the Akasha. It's a very hard thing to say. And then we say, Hashem, now forgive me. If you can forgive others, Hashem says, I'll forgive you. It's very hard to forgive other people. But if you can forgive others, imagine every night we forgive other people, and then we say, Hashem, please forgive me as well. Hashem says, well, if you forgive others, I got to forgive you. Mida kenegi mida. If you don't forgive others, maybe I won't forgive you. But since you forgive other people, you're large, you're acting large, you're acting big, you're big-hearted, you're going to forgive other people, I'll forgive you as well. So it's a very powerful prayer a person should say before they go to sleep. So a person should not delay. He says, Yimatze yichura tshuva zulati b'amei haaretz. He said, the ignorant ones are the ones who delay their teshuva. Can you imagine? How did he write this? Can you imagine what guts he had to go from synagogue to synagogue to apologize to the Rambam who was already dead? He put the Rambam in Cherem. They burnt all the books. I feel so bad. Gosh, I made a mistake. I put the Rambam in Cherem. The great rabbi who's dead. Put him in Cherem. He goes from synagogue. Imagine how embarrassing it was, humiliating, to go from synagogue to synagogue. I'm sorry, publicly, I caused a break in the honor due to the Rambam. I didn't give the Rambam enough honor. I put him in Cherem. And then he writes this book. And he did it straight away. That's the beauty. He's fulfilling his writings. His writing is, don't delay teshuva. Who delays teshuva? People are ignorant. He's proving it that if you learn it, you know how serious it is. Don't delay it. Who delays teshuva? People who are ignorant. Hashem yeshenim. People who are sleeping. And they don't pay attention to what they're doing. They don't have enough wisdom to understand what they're doing. They don't understand that they have a chance to run away. Imagine. The guy's going to be sentenced to jail or whatever it is. And he has this opportunity, this golden chance to get out of it. And he doesn't know. He's not aware. Imagine. I think a person was caught. And he's going to go to jail, but he has an opportunity to get out of it by saying the right thing or saying that. And he doesn't say it because he's in ignorance. So a person's going to think, if I delay, it's going to be worse for me. So it's very important to know this. We have an opportunity to do teshuva, and through doing teshuva, not only can we avoid all the punishments, we can even make, if it's a high enough teshuva, we can make our bad deeds good deeds. We can not only erase the tape. Can you imagine a person goes to heaven? Guess who's waiting there for you? Guess. All your relatives. My father, my grandfather, my great-grandfather, all them. My mother, my grandfather, my grandma, my great-grandma, whoever passed away, they're all waiting over there. All your friends who passed away, they're all there waiting. So you get there, and then they show you, this is your life. In three-dimensional color, this is your life. And you go this, show my life, oh no. These parts over there, I don't want anyone to know about. You know, there's parts over there, R-rated, I can't, I don't show, it's embarrassing, I'm humiliated, that's hell, it's torture. Well, you got to watch it, this is your punishment, you got to watch your life, imagine. And then we're going to judge you, oh God. So what we can do is, there's two things we can do. Number one is we can erase parts of the tape. So what a fantastic opportunity. Person thinks, you know, so I regret, I admit I did this, and I'm never do it again. Okay. Hashem says, I'm going to start erasing a tape. But you know what? I'm only going to completely erase it if you really don't do it again. If you do it again, you might have to erase a little bit. You won't see it clearly, but it's still, there's a mark over there. It's like you put your clothes in the wash and it still has some marks over there. You'll see it got dirty, but we try to clean it. So in the future, they'll see the tape. Oh, there's something over there I can't see, make out clearly over here, but it's something he did that, it's awesome. Or a person can take the tape and rewrite the tape. Oh, that's teshuva me'ava. That's teshuva out of love of Hashem. A person can rewrite the tape, make it into a mitzvah. So now a person that's teshuva from fear, that's part of the tape blank. I say, we don't know what he did, but I know he did something. But then he rewrites the tape. Can't tell. No one can tell what he did. It's all beautiful. How do you have such a beautiful life? You never did anything wrong? Of course I did, but I did teshuva. Teshuva? It says, you know what? When Cain killed Hebel. Cain killed his brother. Now, obviously he didn't know how. He didn't know you could kill someone. He wanted to give him a good thrashing. He took a rock and beat him all over. He didn't know you kill him. He didn't know people could die. No one ever died before. His brother dies. And Hashem says, Cain, where's your brother? He says, am I my brother's keeper? You're the brother's keeper. You should have. Imagine what chutzpah he had. You should look after him. You're the creator. Why didn't you look after him? I got to look after him. You got to look after him. He didn't know. They didn't know that you've got to look after your brother, you've got to look after your friend. Anyway, Cain does a little bit of teshuva. Gadol avoni minsor. My sin is too heavy to bear. Hashem says, you're going to wander around and people see you're going to kill you. He says, I can't, Hashem, please have mercy on me. Hashem says, okay, 7 generations. Nothing's going to happen to you. Imagine. He goes back to Adam. Adam says, you killed your brother. What do you think? What did Hashem do to you? He said, I did teshuva. Adam said, what? You can do teshuva? I didn't know. You imagine? Gosh. So Adam started doing teshuva. 130 years he did teshuva. Imagine. 130 years of teshuva. Can't imagine what it's like. And it didn't help, because it didn't help completely. He didn't fix everything. We have to fix everything. But he did teshuva for 130 years. He was crying. 130 years. He was in the mikvah for 130 years. Amazing. Hard to imagine. But we see this power of how the gift is a gift. Hashem allows us to repent and atone and come back to him. It's amazing. I mean, what is a good parent? What do parents want? Parents want the kid to change and come back. Parents don't want the kid to run away and be evil and do bad. They want us to go, come back. Forgive you. Come back. Forgive you. It's like the king's son. The king's son did something wrong and ran away and got into trouble. And the king sent the secret service to look after him. Every time he's in trouble, some strangers came and pulled him out of trouble. So same thing, we don't see Hashem's kindness is trying to put us out. Hashem is guiding us all the time. We have to look and see. So the rabbis say in Brachot, if you see a person who's learned, transgressing during the daytime, he must do teshuva at night. Don't even think about it the next day. He must have done teshuva. It's only people who are ignorant who don't do teshuva. People who are knowledgeable and aware of what they're doing do teshuva every night. We should, before we go to sleep. Okay. But it's different kinds of teshuva. There's lower level teshuva, which just scratches a little bit of the dirt away. And then there's high level teshuva, which can erase completely. And then there's high level teshuva, can make rewrite the tape. And then there's sins between man and man, sins between man and God. So it's not just man and God, it's man and man as well. That's the hardest part. Going to ask someone for forgiveness. It's a hard job. It's something hard, because you've got to be very humble. to acknowledge I sinned to that person. He holds a key of my forgiveness in his hand. I gotta be humble and say, please, forgive me. I'm sorry, please. That takes a lot of guts. That takes a lot of effort. So what does he say? So number one is to realize how bad it is to not do tshuva straight away. We should all do tshuva straight away. Pastor saying bad, straight away, do tshuva, straight away. Number two, a person should groan in about his tshuva. Oh, how could I do that? It's like a person makes a big mistake. Have you ever made a big financial mistake? A person invested in the thing, and the thing, instead of going up, it went down. Oh, God, I lost so much money. How could I do this? I'm an idiot. How could I do this? How many people do this in spiritual things? How could I do this? I sinned against Hashem. How could I do that? I lost so much. How much merit's in the world above? We can't see it. That's the trouble. We can't see it. But you know what? A person should be able to feel it inside. We should have the sensitivity, and we have to inculcate, we have to learn sensitivity. So what we do should affect how we feel. A person who's sensitive will know. I feel it sometimes. You know, when you speak Lashon Hara again, you feel bad. You feel it? If you feel it, you're sensitive to it. Then it's more likely you won't do it again. You should feel that loss. You lost. What do you lose? I lost my merits. I lost being a perfect person. I lost being a righteous person. I lost. A person can lose it in a second. But you know what? Never give up hope. Do the shiva, move on, get back, get it back. It's very hard. Because what a person struggled for 10 days a week or 2 weeks of selichot, getting up early and praying and pleading, they can lose it 1 second. Boom. And they start again from scratch. But never give up hope. Because that's the way Hashem created us. That's who we are. He knows that. He knows you're a mischievous child. And you're gonna do mischief again. And say, sorry, daddy, I'll do it again. Sorry, daddy. Yeah, okay, mischievous kid, go do it again. He's going to do it again. 5 minutes later, it doesn't say.
What is the part of Shiva that we promise will never work again, but it's so likely that it will happen, what is the mentality that we should have?
So only Hashem knows. Hashem knows at that time. At that particular time you said it, were you honest? Mm-hmm. If you really had that resolution at that time, not to do it again, clean. You're cleared now. Mm-hmm. Even if you do it again, it's number one. It starts again from scratch. And it's interesting, because Rambam says he gives you a chance first time, second time, third time. So that he counts the times from that last. But it's got to be an honest resolution. Only Hashem knows. It's between you and God. God knows if that was an honest resolution. The guy in his mind is saying, God, I will never do it again, but he knows he's going to do it again. It's not an honest resolution. It didn't work 100%. But you know what? The Teshuva still helps. Even though it doesn't go all the way, it doesn't clean it completely, it does show goodwill. It's like someone owes you money. And he comes to you and says, I'm sorry, I don't have the money. And you never get the money from him, but he's always sorry. He's always sorry, at least he admitted. He's not denying it completely. He's admitting, please forgive me, I'm sorry. Okay, I want the money now. I'm sorry in next week. But at least he's admitting something. The guy says, brazen faced. I don't know your penny, get out of here. Get out of it. And you have no witness, you have nothing. So what's worse? So same thing. The person says, you know, Hashem, I recognize I did something wrong. I recognize I need to do tshuva. I just can't. It's hard for me. The temptation is so great. So obviously Hashem has mercy because he's trying. If Hashem knows the guy, he knows everyone's yetzer. Listen, Hashem is the boss. I don't know everyone's yetzer. Hashem knows yetzer. He knows if it's too hard for this guy, not too hard for this guy. Everyone is judged according to them. It's not judged according to everyone else. You're not judged, why aren't you Moshe Rabbeinu? Even though Rambam would say you could be Moshe Rabbeinu if you want to. Not the prophecy part, because no one can be a prophet like Moshe Rabbeinu, but you can be a good person like Moshe Rabbeinu was a good person. That's a very hard Rambam. Rambam says everyone has the potential of being a tzaddik like Moshe Rabbeinu. It's a very hard Rambam. We all have potential. And that's the problem. That's how we're going to be judged. Did you live up to your potential? And only God knows my potential. How does a swimmer know how fast he can swim? And the answer is, he's going to swim as fast as he can. How do you know what your potential is? You got to struggle. Find as hard as you can. What is your potential? We don't struggle. We don't push. Some people do push. You see them. Some people don't push. They just relax. And you know what? Before they know it, the world's over. And all the relaxing is not going to help them. Unfortunately. But you got to start pushing. Trying to start achieving. With spiritual goals. How much Torah am I going to learn this year? Have a spiritual goal. You learn Daf Yomi, so learn a page a day, it's a lot. It's a lot. So to learn half a page a day, learn one Mishnah a day, whatever it is. A person should have a spiritual goal. I'm going to do this mitzvah. I'm going to volunteer 20 minutes of my time to help other people. Have a spiritual goal. I'm going to give tzedakah. How much tzedakah I'm going to give this year? Who I'm going to help this year? Have spiritual goals. A person has to have. Without goals, you're not going to achieve. Right? Every company, every corporation in America has a goal. They come up with a plan. What are we meant to get? Right? Every good department manager has a goal for the employees. This is the goal. This is how much we're going to... If you're in sales, you have a sales goal. You have to meet that goal. You have a quota. Even the police have a quota. How many tickets they have to... It has to be a goal. It has to be a... If you have no spiritual goal, there's nothing you're going to do. The person's going to get up and wake up and make spiritual goals. From now on, I'm going to be very careful Lashon Hara. I'm going to try my best not to speak Lashon Hara. From now on, I'm going to try and have one guest in my house every Shabbat. From now on, I'm going to try and give tzedakah this amount every month. Whatever it is, a person has got to have spiritual goals. People have no goals in life, I'm not going to score. Person's playing soccer, but they don't know about the goal. Imagine. And sometimes he scores his own goals. He doesn't know which way to kick. What's right, what's wrong? No idea. Well, learn what's right, what's wrong. First thing to do is learn the rules of the game. The Torah gives us the rules of the game. Without the Torah, we're lost. We have no rules. Imagine you're in the game, you're in the life, which is a game, and you have no rules. Hashem says, here's the rules. This is the code. You want to be successful, you have two choices in front of you. Life and death. You choose the right path, bracha. I would choose a klala, curse. Blessing or curse, that's it. There's two paths in life. Kitavo, coming to it. Re'e. I'm putting forward, look in front of you. I'm putting two choices before you today. Life and death. So we have to choose life. But how do you choose life? You have no rules of the game. What is good? What is bad? What is life? What is not life? So today everything's upside down. What people think is good, it's the worst misused word in the language. Two words which I think are the most misused are good and love. What is good? I had a good time last night. What were you doing? The worst things. Immoral. I was immoral, but I was good. It was good. That's what they call a good time. What is a good time? I got drunk. I did this and I did that. I can't tell you what I did. Good. I had a good time. The word good is an ethical term lost today. The meaning of good is not true today. It's a lie. And the word love, totally misused. I love my apple. What are you going to do with the apple? I eat it. You love it? That's how you show your love? That's how I show my love. So really means, I love myself. Love this girl. I love her so much. Yeah, like heck you love her. That's not love. That's Hollywood love. It's totally misused. These terms are totally misused today. So we have to put things back. Hashem puts everything in perspective. We have to go back to the drawing board, which is the Torah, and learn what these things mean. Hashem says, be good. What does it mean? It's an ethical term. It's a moral term. Goodness is an ethical term, moral term. So a person said, I'm going to try and be better today. I'm trying to be a good person today. I'm not going to hurt anyone. I'll try my best not to hurt animals. Imagine. I'm trying my best not to even pull a leaf out of the road. Arizal says not pull a leaf from the tree without needs. Imagine. That's Sur Meira. Don't do bad. And then you got to do the good as well. It's not just not hurt anyone. You got to do the goodness to them. You got to help other people. Be a cog in the wheel of the world where people help other people. Oh yeah, we're all cogs in the wheel. We don't produce the bread. We pay for the bread, which supports the farmers who grow the wheat who make the bread. That's called Yeshuvo Shel Olam. Be engaged in Yeshuvo Shel Olam. You know, one of the worst things a person can do is be a gambler. Gambler is Pasul Eidur. Why is he Pasul Eidur? Because he's not engaged in Yeshuvo Shel Olam. He's not engaged in productive labor. He's living off ill-gotten gains. It's not really ill-gotten, but it's ill-gotten gains. He's not productive. He's a parasite. So a person is part of society. We have to be productive members of society. So a person is going to learn, number one is this gift. You have a gift in front of us. Take advantage. Hashem gave us this gift of teshuvah. Don't delay it. Take advantage of it. And use it. And think about how bad it is. The interest payments are just accumulating. If you don't do teshuvah, the interest payments are just accumulating. He says a person should at least try and feel some guilt. At least groan. It was the Baal Shem Tov who said, a person did something wrong. He says, I can't help it. He said that groan is already partial teshuvah. Why? Because you're not really enjoying what you're doing. The person realizes he can't help it. But, and he gives a groan. That means he doesn't really, he's not really enjoying himself. He's not happy. He's doing it out of sadness. That's good. That means he knows it's not the right thing to do. When the Yetzirah comes to you the second time, and you have the same opportunity to do the sin, if you groan the first time, maybe you won't do it the second time. Amazing. This is psychology, human psychology. If you enjoyed it, you're going to do it again. But if you had that second thoughts, this is not the right thing to do. Next time, you won't do it. Because you felt the pain the first time. You felt that spiritual pain, the guilt. Yechbosh el Yitzro yizkor asher avra alav. Kosabirut. Then he'll control himself. Why? Because he'll think about how bitter he felt about it. And he won't do it again. And that's what the Torah says. In Tehillim, Psalm 4. Rigzuva al techetahu. Fight and don't sin. Fight what? Fight the Yetzirah. Fight the Yetzirah. So Yetzirah, imagine, it really paints a beautiful picture, but it's a false picture. If you do this, you'll be in Gan Eden. Well, it's a lie, it's the opposite. If you do this, it's going to be a Gehenna, I'm not Gan Eden. But the picture it paints, you're going to have so much pleasure. But how long does the pleasure last? A person eats something, how long does pleasure last? Once it's past your throat, there's no pleasure anymore. Unless you're really starving to fill you up, but once it's past your throat, it's so, you know, food is like the most intangible thing there is. It's wild. It looks very tangible. But once it passes your throat, there's no pleasure anymore. It's gone. It's 2 seconds of pleasure. You get 2 seconds of pleasure. So that's why it's good to eat slowly. The slower you eat, the more pleasure you have. People eat fast, the less pleasure they have. They think they're eating more, but they're having more pleasure. No. You know, it's like we had this guy, the wine taster, the sommelier, right? How many parts of the mouth? Remember? 16, was it? You have to taste the wine. You have to smell the wine. You have to savor it. You don't savor it, you just gulp it down. You waste it. So pleasure, yeah, but how much pleasure can you have? So the Israel will say, you never had pork in your life. You know what you're missing. It's so good. You're an idiot. You're a fool. You gotta have some. Just taste it. Just savor it. And then you savor it. You say, this is what it's for. I'll give up my Olam Hazeh for this. For Olam Haba for this. It's worthless. Imagine. And this applies to everything. I can't give examples. I'm not going to give examples. But the examples, you see Jews giving up their heritage for a bowl of soup. Literally a bowl of soup. For nothing. Why? Just because it looks good right now. Will it look good forever? No, it won't look good forever. It looks good right now. This way I can go and enjoy myself a little bit. But you know what? Eventually they'll say, it didn't really help me. What I did, wasted my life, wasted my time. I was reading, my son was reading this book about the Banana King. Have you heard of him? There's a guy called the Banana King. He's a Jewish guy, came from Russia, penniless. And he made it big. How did he make it big? He started seeing how this, he was in St. Louis or somewhere in Missouri. And he saw how they would import bananas from South America. And there was one big company doing it. General Banana, what it was. General Food, I'm not sure. So he's. What happened was they would sell the surplus bananas which were ripe. They couldn't be shipped to the north. And he started buying surplus bananas, all the ripe bananas, and sell them locally. He made a fortune, and he said, why not buy the company? So he bought the company. So eventually he became the biggest banana importer of America. But you know what? His children were not Jewish. And when he, imagine he's 80 years old, he's still the top of the company. And his daughter, whatever, is living with him. And, I don't know, they separate from his husband, whatever. And the kids are living with his grandchildren. And one day, the book ends off with this, nearly near the end. He goes into his grandchild's room and he knocks on the door. He says, tell me, he says, what religion are you? He didn't even, you know, he just woke up at the end of his life that his life was invested in making money, but it wasn't invested in the children, the grandchildren. Things which really matter. That's. So we have to be cognizant what things really matter in this world. What are we trying to achieve in this world? If we're trying to make money, how much money can we make? We're not going to match Bill Gates. We're not going to match. So at least be good. At least do spiritually, at least. We can be multi-millionaires when no one's there. We can take over spiritually. There's a book, All for the Boss, right? Beautiful book. Going to get read the book, All for the Boss. Rav Yaakov Herman. His thesis was, I'm looking for a mitzvah that no one else does. I'm going to find that stock that no one else likes, and eventually it's going to shoot up. I'm going to look for that mitzvah. It says the same thing applies to Onkelos, the Ger Onkelos. Titus, he goes to his uncle Titus, the emperor. He says, give me some advice. So Titus says, become a businessman. And when you see something cheap, which is worth something, buy it. When it becomes expensive, sell it. So he went and became Jewish. Imagine, think about it. He went and became, he's crazy. So his uncle says, what happened to you? You're crazy? You're mad? He said, you told me to, uncle. So what? I told you to be Jewish. I hate the Jews. So what you told me, find something cheap, which has value, buy it. So nothing's cheaper than being a Jew right now. The life is worthless. The pennies on the dollar. You get a Jewish slave for nothing. But I know it's worth something. The Torah is worth love. So I became Jewish based on your value. So that's the idea. The idea is, let's invest our time in things which have value, not just in this world, but also in the next world. Things which will last for us for immortality. Imagine. Immortality is a long time. A person can be immortal. The soul is immortal. So let's invest in the soul life as opposed to the body life. Body life is short. So how much pleasure can a person have in this world? It's limited. But a person's soul can live forever. A person can have tremendous pleasure in the next world. It's unlimited. Unlimited pleasure. And it's true pleasure. It's good pleasure. It's goodness. It's being close to Hashem. But it's a battle. And that's the battle a person is going to fight in this world. Because the temptations are great. And the battle is every second to fight that temptation. A person says, I got to go home. I got my wife waiting for me. I got lunch. I got dinner. Another minute. Another minute. Had a guy. He said, I want to learn Torah. I said, slow down. Just make up your mind. You're going to learn for 1 year. He said, but I know. If I learn for 1 year, I'm going to do another 2 years. Yeah, but don't think of it in that terms. Why? Because that's where the Yitzhak is going to get you. Just think of it another minute. Another minute. Another day. Another day. Live your life day by day in the service of God. And tell her, yes, sir, another day, what's the problem, another day. You know, one of the biggest things we have, one of the tricks we have is to delay. People love to delay. So you can use that against the Yetzer HaTov, or you can use it against the Yetzer HaTov. The Yetzer HaTov says, come, let's go to shul today. Tomorrow, rush. Let's do teshuva today. Not tomorrow, I'll do teshuva. Procrastination is the biggest temptation of the Yetzer HaTov. It's a good tool. But it's also a good tool to use against the Yetzer HaTov. The Yisrael said, let's do this today. Let's go to the beach. Mix swimming, mix bathing. Yeah, it's fantastic. The weather's nice. Let's do it today. I'll go tomorrow. Push it away. Keep pushing it away. But the Yisrael says, you got to leave now. It's late. You're going to be late for work. You're going to run to... you don't leave the rabbi alone. He'll talk forever. Leave him alone. Just go. He can talk and talk and talk. It's late. Go home. Go to bed. You're tired. Go. Eat food. Go have a party. Look, everyone's on the street. They're all outside Pinos talking and chatting. And you're over here talking. What are you doing over here? That's the answer. So, okay, 1 more minute. What's the problem? Let's rush. No rush. So we have to use these devices which are natural to us. We use it all the time. We use it for the wrong things. So let's use it for good things. A person says, oh, I gotta go. I gotta go. Why? It's a movie right now. I gotta go. It's 8 o'clock. I'm late for the movie. I gotta run. The movie. What a yesara. But use that for something good. I gotta run. What are you gonna do? There's a class now. There's a shir. There's a minyan. I gotta go. Okay, halavai. People be like that. Halavai. Halavai, we should be like that. That's the result. So a person says, you know what? Hashem, I was tired today. Yeah, but you ran here. You ran there. I saw you. What's your excuse? Oh, gosh. You said you were tired, but where'd you go? You did this and you did that. You did that. He did it with, not just you did it, he did it with gusto. When it came to learning Torah, he didn't do nothing. Terrible. So we accuse ourselves. Our attitude accuses us. You had money to spend over there, but you didn't spend money on tzedakah. You put your kids in public school? You didn't have money to spend on your kids? How you give up? You bought yourself a brand new car? You know, I tell my kids, I could have bought a Jaguar every year. I don't know how many years it was, 18 years, I could have bought a Jaguar every year. For the money I spent on yeshiva tuition. I'm not really. Thank God, Baruch Hashem. But some people, they'd rather sacrifice their kids. It's terrible. Disaster. It's a disaster today. And they don't think about it in those terms because they don't see the future. You've got to be able to see the future. You've got to see where everything is going to lead. A person's going to be wise and see how things are going to pan out. Or they have their children over here and they don't send them to Israel. Then what happens is another generation in Galut, another generation gone by. And then your grandchildren, you can't leave yourself. You can't leave, you're stuck. person's going to see be far-sighted, a little bit far-sighted, because every step you take has repercussions. Whatever you do in this world has repercussions. So a person's going to be wise and think ahead. If I do this, if my father, he would tell us this story all the time. He says, when I came to England, I looked for a house next to the synagogue. Well, that's far-sighted. Can you imagine? If you look for a house far away from the synagogue, I wouldn't be here probably. I won't be the rabbi today, for sure. Who knows where I'd be, what I'd be doing. Because he was far-sighted enough to go and buy a house near the shul. We could be Shomer Shabbat. Or you can't be Shomer Shabbat, how are you going to drive to shul? And then everything's okay. If I could drive to shul, I could do anything I want. Shabbat is nothing. He said, no, I'm going to buy a house near the synagogue so we can walk to the synagogue. Psh, that's greatness. That decision saved us. And then they made another decision, I'm going to send my kids to the Jewish school. That decision saved us, even though it's going to cost a lot of money. It saved us. So those are major impact statements which we make in our lives, which can change the future for the next 5 generations or more. You can lose generations. So these are very, very important. A person's going to think twice, especially things that concern the family, concern the spiritual welfare. It's not just physical welfare. Some people say, I want to find the best doctor, I want to find the best this. So, what about finding the best rabbi, and find the best classes, and find the best shiurim, for the best yeshiva, find the best... So, obviously, for the body, yeah, we want the best food and the best thing. What about the best spiritual nourishment? So that's something which we have to think about. And teshuvah is part of the spiritual nourishment. But the person's going to think, maybe I have guilty conscience. It's so good to have a guilty conscience. You know, people always talk bad about guilty consciences. The best thing is guilt. A person's going to learn how to be guilty. But use the guilt in a positive way. Not just, I'm guilty. No. I'm guilty, now what do I do about it? So you know what? I'm going to ask for teshuva, and I'm going to be even better next time. That's what you do with guilt. It's a motivation. A person's going to learn the motivation. There's a disease. It's called syringomyelia. You know what that is? Syringomyelia. Syringomyelia is when a person, their nerves lose sensitivity. A person can bang their head and don't feel pain. It's a terrible disease, you know why? A person can walk through a plate glass door and no pain. They're bleeding all over. They're probably going to die, maybe. They don't feel pain. The fact that we feel pain, we've got to thank God. It's a terrible thing, pain. But pain means warning, stop. Warning, something wrong. Go to hospital, get a doctor. You're in pain, that means there's something wrong. And without the pain, a person wouldn't even know there's something wrong. So syringomyelia, no pain. He cut off his hand, no pain. Imagine. He probably wouldn't even go to the doctor. A little bit of blood was a problem. I don't feel pain. It's a very dangerous disease. People die like that. They can burn themselves in a fire. They don't feel any pain. It's a terrible thing. Now think of the... Okay, that's a nerve. That's a physical pain. Now what about spiritual pain? Person goes, that's the worst sins. And see it today. They're doing the worst things, and they're proud of it. Why? They've lost spiritual sensitivity. There is no spiritual pain. And that's the spiritual pain, something we have to inculcate into us, in our children. How could you do this? Don't you feel bad yourself? How can you do it? Child says, I don't feel bad. You should feel bad. You know why you should feel bad? Think about the other guy's feelings. Think about what you did just now. You just smacked someone. Is that nice? How would you like it if I smacked you right now? We don't feel it. We don't think about it. So these are things that we have to be more aware of that cause us pain. When it causes you pain, then you think about it. It doesn't cause you pain. How could I hurt their feelings? I feel bad that I hurt their feelings. But I was going to feel that pain. So that is a very high level. That is where a person uses guilt in a proper context. To use the guilt for the trip. Guilt trip. What is the trip? To do good. Use the guilt to motivate yourself. I'll never do this again. You know, I had so much guilt. I felt so bad. I can never do this again. Now I'm going to do only good because I don't have that pain again. So that's a very important... this idea of syringomyelia. You know the famous story. The guy, he would go to the bar and buy 6 drinks every time. And the bartender was so happy. 6 drinks. Good job. He'd drink the first drink, second drink, throw on the floor. Drink the third drink, fourth drink on the floor. He'd drink the fifth drink, 6 drinks on the floor. After a few months, the bartender said, I can't. I'm sick of cleaning up after you. You're a good customer, but I have to clean the floor every time you leave. It's disgusting. You make a big mess. Go get treatment. Okay, the guy went, came back 3 months later. So you got treatment? Got treatment. I went to a psychologist, I got treatment. Now I'm fine. So okay, 6 drinks, please. Drinks, 1 drink, second drink on the floor. Third drink, fourth drink on the floor. Fifth drink, sixth drink on the floor. So I thought you got treatment. He says, yeah, I got treatment. I don't feel bad anymore. That's what psychologists do today. They tell you, oh, don't feel bad. You're okay. Don't feel bad. So what do you do? You're rude to someone. Okay, big deal. Don't be bad. You hurt your wife's feelings. Okay, it's okay. It's no problem. Do it again. It's okay. You hurt your husband's feelings. Okay, that's okay. It's a mitzvah. Everything becomes a mitzvah. The bad becomes a mitzvah. Don't worry about it. Why? We don't want you to be hurt physically, mentally, that you get guilt. So don't have guilt. Don't be guilty. No, opposite. Be guilty. You know why? Because that, you'll save yourself from spiritual disaster. So a person, just like feeling pain is a physical reaction because to save yourself from more damage, spiritual pain is also the reaction to stop ourselves from sinning even more. Spiritual disaster. So we have to try and inculcate it. And that's what the Shari Tshuva says. When you groan when you do something bad, you probably won't do it again. Why? Because you felt that pain. You felt the spiritual pain, you're not going to do it again. But if you didn't feel the spiritual pain, yeah, I had so much fun killing that cat. You have these monsters. They have so much fun doing evil, they'll do it again. The trick is we have to learn it's bad, and we have to feel bad doing that. How can you do that? You have no heart. So that's what the Nazis, Yamak Shemam, they felt good. Because they were trained to be cruel. They lost their human compassion. They lost their guilt feelings. You do something bad three times, the Rambam says, it's like a heter. It becomes like a mitzvah, it becomes like it's allowed. That's a danger. So the first time a person does it, wasn't so bad. You know? Second time, not bad at all. Third time, I'm enjoying it. Listen, I learned how to be shochet. I couldn't do it, but after three, four times, it becomes like easy. Kill an animal. Slice. But anything, a person get used to anything, that's the trouble. You know, the best story is how to kill crabs. How do restaurants kill crabs? Do you know how they kill crabs? They boil them in water. And what does a crab do? You know what? Nothing. You know why? Just put the crab in the cold water. Great, it's cold water. And the fire's on underneath. And it's warming up. Ah, nice, warm. And before it knows anything, it's dead. It's cooked. So nice and warm. Ah, getting warm now. You're warm, juice. Ooh, nice. And before the crab knows it, it's boiled away, cooked. Oh, yeah, 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 yeah. Don't try that in the shower. Thank God we have these feelings. It's hot, it's burning hot. I've got to stop. Otherwise, come out and we'll cook. We'll cook. Spiritually, same thing. We don't have that feeling. Stop already. Don't do it. Don't do more. Don't stop. You're going to cook. Your soul's going to die. That's cut it. The Torah says, you do these things, cut it. The soul is cut off. How does a person know the soul is cut off? They don't feel guilt anymore. Very simple. A person doesn't feel spiritual pain. Why don't you feel spiritual pain? Because you don't have a soul. Your soul is cut off. That's terrible. That's probably the worst, the pits of the earth, where a person doesn't have a soul. And how do you know he doesn't have a soul? Because he does the worst things and feels no spiritual guilt. His soul is cut off. He's got to reawaken his soul. How does he reawaken his soul? So eventually, find the story of Eliezer ben Dordia. Eventually, the last straw was he did something that woke him up, and he said, nah, woke up. The person's got to come to their senses. When a person comes to their senses, they realize how much damage they did in the world, and they're really remorseful, and they can really do the tshuva very powerfully. But they've got to come to that realization. So that's what we're saying. A person needs to come to realization. Number one is, this world is not a joke. It's not a joke. It's a very serious place, an exam. You're going for an exam. And it's got very high stakes. The stake is, you're going to live forever or you're going to die. It's a very high stake. And live forever. Got it in or gay now? It's like a massive, we have no concept of gay now. We have no concept of what's going on over there. So, thank God we have the Torah. We have the game plan. We have the rules of the game. At least we can be successful in the game. And one of the best gifts we have is this concept of Teshuvah. So let us not delay. Let's grab hold of Teshuvah and Bezrat Hashem will be successful. Okay, we'll stop here. Yeah. Ramina? No. Thank you, thank you. Thank you. See you later. Yeah. Basic classroom.